Hello and welcome to the 11th episode of Xbox Mojo. My name is Thomas and I'm glad that you didn't have to wait so long for a new episode. Since the last episode was published, I have hardly played anything, so I won't talk about my impressions of any games. Okay, because all of the Blizzard and World of Warcraft hype, I reactivated my subscription for the first time in 2.5 years for a month. I played some Burning Crusade and had a look at Shadowlands. But I wasn't triggered by my new excursion, so I doubt I will play World of Warcraft in the long run. Maybe that will change in 2023 when the next expansion Dragonflight is released. Visiting Azeroth is always a bit of coming home, so I'm also happy that Wrath of the Lich King will be added to World of Warcraft Classic at the end of this year. For me, this add-on was the highlight of my World of Warcraft time back in 2008 or 2009. At the beginning of May, Blizzard will also introduce a Warcraft mobile game. Even though I'm not a big mobile player, I'll be looking at that and Diablo Immortal, although surprisingly, Diablo Immortal has now also been announced for PC. So the game is coming out for PC, Android and iOS systems. And while we are on the subject of Blizzard, there's also news about Microsoft's takeover of Activision Blizzard. The shareholders of the game publisher have accepted the offer of $95 per share with a large majority. A large majority is an understatement since 98% of the voting shareholders approved the bid. Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick commented, and I quote, "Today's overwhelmingly supportive vote by our stockholders confirms our shared belief that combined with Microsoft, we will even better positioned to create great value for our players, even greater opportunities for our employees, and to continue our focus on becoming an inspiring example of a welcoming, respectful, and inclusive workplace." End quote. It's strange that Bobby Kotick, of all people, is now talking about respectful working environments, since he is probably one of the main people responsible for the fact that this is currently not the case at Activision Blizzard. Approval was expected, but the real hurdle is the antitrust authorities. If they approve the takeover, it will be completed by June 2023. So the topic will keep us busy for a while longer, and I hope that the deal goes through because I would like Microsoft to lead Blizzard back to its old strength. What other news reports have I picked up? According to Jeff Grubb of VentureBeat, the sequel to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order will reportedly only be released for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S in 2023. About time, in my opinion, that cross-generation finally stops and exclusive games are released for the current generation of consoles. Okay, this one is barely available, but by the end of the year, also already 2 years on the market. But how well do the current generations run despite the lack of availability? Microsoft has published the quarterly results for Q3 2020. Year over year, Microsoft grew 20% to a total of $51.7 billion. Xbox sales climbed 6%. Xbox hardware revenue increased 40%, primarily thanks to strong demand for Xbox Series X and S, and thanks to growth in Xbox Game Pass subscriptions and strong first-party titles like Halo Infinite and Forza Horizon 5. Xbox content and services grew 4%. During the presentation of the business figures, Microsoft called itself the market leader of the next generation consoles in the US, Canada, UK, and Western Europe. I don't know about this one because Western Europe is a PlayStation country. In North America, it was mainly TIDA, and the NPD group announced that in March 2022, Xbox Series consoles were financially the most successful consoles of the month in the US. It was even said to be the most successful March in Xbox history, but please pay attention to the term most financially successful console, because purely in terms of unit sales, the Switch was able to sell the most in March in the US. Since Xbox consoles are more expensive than Switch, a smaller quantity is enough to be the most successful financially. Furthermore, the worldwide sales figures for Xbox Series X and S are around 30 million, which is good since the Xbox 360 had 10 million consoles in the same period. However, the PS5 could already break the 17 million barrier at the end of 2021. We can state that all console manufacturers are doing well and that the gap between Xbox and PlayStation is smaller so far. The future will show how much the lack of chip connectors has to do with it. It's still great because if I'd had the podcast back in 2013 or 2014, I'd have talked about how wrong something was at Xbox every other episode. Flawed operating system, too few games, Kinect, the higher price, etc. Nowadays, you have many studios, good hardware, and successful services like Game Pass. Xbox potential is there, and the mojo is coming back, and Jess Corden wrote an article on that topic, which I'm happy to link to in the show notes. But games are somehow still a problem at the moment. The other day I was talking about Microsoft won't be releasing anything in the first half of the year. The focus is back on the second half, and we are still a long way from getting a AAA smash hit every quarter. But maybe we'll already see a glimpse of this glorious future on June 12th, because then at 7 p.m. In Europe or in Germany, this year's Xbox and Bethesda Games Showcase will take place. Games from Xbox Game Studios, including Bethesda and external publishers, will be shown. It will all be streamed on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok in over 30 languages. I like to remember last year's excellent showcase. Back then, 30 titles were shown, 27 of which ended up in the Xbox Game Pass or will end up there. Forza Horizon 5 was shown for the first time and managed to excite. We all remember the pseudo stills that looked like photos, only to reveal that they were in-game scenes in the next moment. Mexico was also a perfect setting. Battlefield 2042 looked better during the presentation than at the later release. Free for Free Industries showed multiplayer gameplay for Halo Infinite for the first time, which made us want more, and the multiplayer is still good today. Even if it lacks content, the new season will soon bring some improvement in this regard. We saw a CGI trailer for the co-op open-world first-person shooter Redfall. I liked the art style, and since Arkane Austin, the team behind Prey and Dishonored, are working on this title, I was very excited. Unfortunately, there was no gameplay or great further info until today. My top personal cracker was the in-engine sequence of Starfield, which was announced exclusively for Xbox Series consoles and PC for November 11, 2022. The first new game universe from Bethesda Game Studios in 25 years, and after The Elder Scrolls and Fallout, it is to become their third major brand. There was news about Age of Empires 4, and Flight Simulator for consoles got a new trailer and a date. In addition, the Top Gun Maverick expansion was announced, and Psychonauts 2 also got a new trailer and date. There was an info update on Grounded, but Obsidian didn't just have that with them, and they also announced The Outer Worlds 2. Sea of Thieves: A Pirate Lies presented the ultimate pirate crossover between Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean and Sea of Thieves, a very welcome announcement. Bethesda in turn announced the Elder Scrolls Online's Series X and S patch, as the game has been running in 4K 60fps on those consoles since last summer, with better foresight, textures, shadows and load times. Unfortunately, Fallout 76 never got such an upgrade, so only The Pit was announced as a new expansion. Doom Eternal was also shown again, and this time in the next-gen version with 4K 60fps or ray tracing. That was also the version I played through the game with for the first time. There were also new collaborations with Avalanche Studios showing off Contraband, a new exclusive IP for Xbox, a co-op smuggler game set in the 1970s. The third-party developers also had exciting stuff with Stalker 2, Back 4 Blood, Hades, Far Cry 6, Diablo 2 Resurrected, A Plague Tale's Requiem, Party Animals, 12 Minutes, The Ascent, Atomic Heart, Somerville, Shredders, Slime Ranger 2, Aiden Chronicle, 100 Heroes and Replaced. And above all, a good mix of 2.5D action platformers, party games with animals, JRPGs and apocalyptic first-person shooters. In addition, the event had hardly any length and it just went on and on and on. I hope that Microsoft will follow suit this year as well. I then asked on Twitter what you expected from this showcase. By Yannick wrote, "Games, games, gameplay. Sure, new announcement, but I hope we get gameplay and release dates for already announced titles. There are quite a few: Starfield, Redfall, About, and Fable. Everwild, if somehow possible, and I'm also interested in the finally not cross-gen Forza Motorsport." At Commando Los Tios was a bit more modest and only hoped for Halo DLC and the Battle Royale mode. At Deckard 9085-2, on the other hand, is too optimistic and hopes for a shadow drop of The Elder Scrolls 6. That would be too nice, but we probably won't get the game for another 4 or 5 years. At Hammer GER, on the other hand, is very humble and writes, "Expect friends with the publishers and co. is still the highest corona alarm level. I only hope that his stream starts at all." At Tuffy2K shares this view: "My expectations are nothing because you fall too quickly into the hype and this can only be disappointed. In addition, COVID has this industry totally under control. I'm just curious about what comes and utterly free of any expectations." And also at the Kuro number one is quite relaxed: "I expect a good show and nothing more. I prefer to be relaxed about the shows, then you will not be disappointed and things can surprise you. And you perceive them better than if you go with hype run and then are disappointed." I think it's good how you broadly assesses it and that you don't want to get hyped too much. Reasonable. But somehow the anticipation and being a little hyped is also part of the fun, as long as you don't overdo it. I think Starfield will have the most extended demo and be the show's biggest game. For Redfall, we should also finally see gameplay and maybe we'll get a date, since I doubt the summer release more and more. Also, we might see a trailer for Deathloop, which should debut for Xbox in September. Of course, add content updates for Fallout 76 and The Elder Scrolls Online. ZeniMax Online is also said to be working on an entirely new game in addition to Elder Scrolls Online, so perhaps something will be officially announced. Indiana Jones might still be too early, so maybe a Wolfenstein 3 as a sweetener? And whether its software is ready to show their next project after Doom Eternal, I don't know. It was once speculated that it could be a Quake reboot. Concerning the Xbox Game Studios, it's getting more complex. Forza Motorsport should be there, but I don't believe in Everwild. The development was supposedly restarted and the game is still a few years away, a classic case of being announced too early. Whether we'll finally see Fable, I'm undecided. I don't believe that we'll see three role-playing games in one event, Starfield, Avowed and Fable. Avowed is rumored to be released in 2023 and journalists like Jess Corden have already been able to see gameplay scenes. Therefore, I think Avowed is possible, especially since in the second half of 2021 it was always said that gameplay reveals of Avowed was planned. State of Decay 3 would also be a candidate to show something 2 years after the announcement. On the other hand, there were recent press reports that the developers didn't know exactly what the game would be when it was announced, so that it was revealed more or less for marketing reasons and less because the game was already further in development. I won't be shocked if you don't see anything about State of Decay 3. We saw a cinematic gameplay section for Hellblade 2 at the Game Awards. Maybe now would be the time for more gameplay and the battle system. I would also be interested to know what the Coalition is currently working on. Gears 6 doesn't seem to be coming anytime soon, but the studio is working on a smaller project. But which one? A few weeks ago, they released an imposing Unreal Engine 5 demo, where they once again prove that they are one of the best Unreal Engine studios worldwide. I want to see what they can do with the new engine in practice as a game and not as a tech demo. Grounded is supposed to be released as version 1.0 at the end of the year, so it would be an excellent opportunity to use the showcase to give a preview of it. Perhaps there will also be information about the new game by Josh Sawyer, who works with a relatively small team at Obsidian and is supposed to work on a role-playing adventure according to the rumor mill Who Was the Murderer Misery game. Of course, that still leaves the surprises that no one expects. And I don't mean the obligatory wish for a new Banjo and Kazooie remake or sequel, but something completely new will also be announced. But what happened to the rumor that Hideo Kojima is working on a cloud game for Xbox? Have the contracts been signed and is the project ready to be announced? Or if the rumor about the GoldenEye remaster are true? Microsoft has the potential to put on a great show, at least on the level of last year. We as a fans deserve it, especially since the first half of 2022 will be a bit lean from an exclusive games perspective. In any case, I'm very excited about June and hope to be able to discuss the showcase with a guest. No, I just wanted to throw out this news and thoughts quickly. That should have been it for this week. Thank you for listening. The future is bright and the mojo is coming back. Until next time, your Thomas.